Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Now it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story
live on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on your radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to keep up with all the content going on right here on the station, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app. It's free to download. It's free to listen. All you have to do is download. Go ahead and subscribe right there to 92.9 FM ESPN. You'll be up to date on everything going on here at the station. Even if you missed a segment and you want to go back and listen, you can do so with the Rewind feature. Dennis Fuller's producer of the program. Glad that he is with us. My company this week is, of course, or I should say my company today on Wednesdays, yeah, is, of course, Kevin Cerrito, MC of Fun and Games here in Memphis, host of 901 Wrestling, CerritoEntertainment.com. Also, make sure you sign up for the newsletter for everyone out there that wants to play Writer Than Write Trivia. A great way to keep you up to date on that. Also, you can subscribe to his Patreon page on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Yeah, good day to you. Yeah, you're a little confused because last week was week zero of the
correct
new format. The new format, week zero last week of the show, right?
Because
you didn't have a Monday.
I think you're right. Was last week Labor Day Monday?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so now this is
correct.
Officially week one,
yes,
of the different host every
correct
day format here on Jeffrey Wright and Company that I'm honored to be a part of. Great to be back here. And you mentioned the newsletter. So we have one of our most popular newsletters I've sent out in a while. Everybody's clicking on this. They're excited. We got Jeff Calkins' picture on there. But yeah, because you can get your weekly trivia hints on Writer Than Write Trivia.
And because you had sent it out yesterday, and I was like, ooh, Kevin's got some graphic design in there. That was great.
Oh, yeah, there is
some. We had some embeds and everything.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So Writer Than Write Trivia every week is we purposely very rarely have sports questions. If there's a sports question, it's hidden in there somehow, and it's kind of a quasi-sports
question. Or it's really hard.
So there's not usually sports questions during Writer Than Write on Thursday mornings, but at our trivia nights, there's probably like maybe 1.5 sports questions. What we say is the over-under on that, because I know you like to bet, Jeff.
Thank you.
The over-under at every sports night. If you want to go in, place a bet before, will it be more or less than 1.5? But we're doing all sports night, all sports trivia night next week.
Ooh.
So this is a very rare occasion. People have been asking
at all locations or just one specific?
One location. So next Tuesday night at the High Cotton Tap Room there in the Edge District, next Tuesday night, 7 p.m., on September 17th, so it'll be the day before I'm back here on this show. I'm sure we'll talk more about it tomorrow morning. But if you go to CerritoTrivia.com, CerritoEntertainment.com, either one of those will get you where you need to go, and you can find out more about the sports trivia. It'll be free to play, but it's a rare occasion where we're going to ask every question is going to be sports related. That's at High Cotton, which I don't know if you've noticed, Jeffrey. They have merged / been bought out by Flyway Brewing from Arkansas. So they're still making some of your High Cotton favorite beers, but they're also making some new stuff for the Memphis market. They've got this blueberry wheat ale that's out called Blue Wing, and they have a new honey one.
Just in time for summer.
Yeah.
Ooh, honey.
Honey blonde.
The new Belgian honey wheat used to be one of my old-timers.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I think you'll like this. It's the Honey Bird Blonde Ale. They'll start seeing these in grocery stores around town, but you can definitely check them out at the tap room. It's an Arkansas brewery that now is going to be making stuff in Memphis as well as Flyway. But I tried that Honey Bird last night when I was watching the debate, but we're not going to be talking much about that today.
Yeah, I did not watch. I started about 3 minutes in. I just told my wife, I'm good here. So we moved on and watched YouTube videos. So that's what we did. Also,
it's the biggest week. This is the biggest week for Memphis football. I'm excited. I really, this could be the last week that we're really talking about Memphis football for a minute.
It's fascinating, and that's where we're going to start. So we will do buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. But then we also will be having our 901 wrestling guest. We will have the 18-19 champion, the Merc, Chris Evans. He got the 18-19 belt by defeating the All-American Ken Dang back at the final battle at Black Lodge. He's going to be in studio. Looking forward to having him. Of course, 901 Wrestling will make its debut shows at Minglewood Hall. That is Sunday, September the 22nd. 901wrestling.com for all tickets information. Also, one free entry for kids will be available with each purchase of a general admission ticket to the show. So we'll have him in studio here. We'll get into the list. We've gotten some NFL ratings. Turns out we still watch football, but we maybe still don't watch the Manning cast. So we'll get some thoughts on that. Also, CJ Hurt, who joined us last week, he's going to be joining us on Wednesday afternoons during hour number two.
Yeah, that was fun last week. Yeah, well, I'm sure he'll be very excited to talk about how Michigan did last weekend.
Yes, but I can also congratulate him for what his NBA Big Red did to my Owls.
Oh, there you go.
A little 31-0 spot, and I believe we had 82 yards of offense. So I'll make sure to congratulate CJ on that big win before rubbing in, of course. In fairness, CJ, I think, had the same apprehensions about Michigan heading into that game as well. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But as mentioned, big Florida State game is this Saturday. Let's start it off with buy, sell short, or go to Reddit.
It's that time with Jeffrey and Company, where we either buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit on 92.9.
All right, Kevin, let's start, of course, with that big game. The context here being, okay, I don't know if everyone thought that when Memphis head to Florida State, it would be a battle of undefeateds, but if I told you one team was going to be 0-2, and that's probably not true, because you would have said, if Memphis lost to North Alabama, what happened?
Right.
But if I would have said there's one team coming in with a loss, you would have suspected probably Memphis.
Yeah.
But I think everyone still thought it's going to be a battle of undefeateds. And in fairness, Florida State was a double-digit favorite in both games. They lost both outright. Memphis has won both of its games in which it was favored by multiple scores. But the context being, now with Florida State being out of the top 25, I mean, maybe that's probably the better way to say it. Hey, if I would have told you one of these teams is going to be ranked coming into this game, I think everyone would assume, well, of course, it's going to be Florida State. There's
right.
No reason that the Troy win and the North Alabama win would somehow propel
right.
The Tigers into the top 25, but indeed, here we are.
It is bizarre. The point I think you're trying to get to is very bizarre to have an 0-2 Florida State versus a 2-0 Memphis. Like, it's just not normal. That is the record that you're looking at when they're colliding. Nobody
correct.
Expected that specific record to be happening.
But also, with the addition now, okay, this question of what is Florida State? And what happens if Florida State winds up being a, I don't know, 6-6, 5-7 team, and if you're Memphis and you go to Tallahassee where it's a difficult place to play, you don't win that game, all of a sudden is that being held against you? So to me, that's kind of the whole context.
It's a whole new storyline for this game.
For sure.
The stakes have been changed a little bit.
And further, a game that Kevin, we talked about last week, Boise State presented itself well against Oregon.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody knows who listens to me on Wednesdays. You know I'm watching Boise very
and
closely.
And more importantly, your boy, Janty, did not disappoint.
He did not. And that was the worst-case scenario for a non-Boise win is what we saw. Because, I mean, if you didn't watch the game, all you got to do is look at the score. You got to look at the numbers. And you're like, ooh, this Boise team can compete. Now, they do have the challenges coming up where they have to prove that against the Pac-2 teams. But
the
also,
only good thing about that game was that it was on Peacock. And so a lot of people didn't know where it was.
That's true. A lot of people didn't see it. But I think it's one of those you can see that final score and be,
yeah.
Oh, wow, Boise, that was close finish. Because they could have had an awesome game. You know, the team pulls away at the end and then the final doesn't look. The final score matters, especially when you're picking these teams for the playoffs. But now I'm worried about Northern Illinois. I've got to start watching Northern Illinois games for a minute. If you're a Tiger fan, you don't have to watch any of these teams. That's the benefit if the Tigers lose this weekend. I feel like I don't think you're going to have to watch them. But I feel like it is a must win. I feel like I buy that it is a must win. Is that where?
To be clear, we're not saying the game in general is must win. It's must win for the Tigers' playoff chances.
Correct. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And also for, you know, all the talk on this station, every time I tune in, I keep the word anticipation is the secret word of the month. It has been anticipation. Pee-wee needs to print it out of his robot and start screaming out the name. Anytime somebody says anticipation, I scream. But the anticipation is going to disappear. Like, if Memphis loses to Florida State, what are you excited about? Your playoff hopes, you can maybe try to convince people your playoff hopes are still alive, but, like, with the schedule you got, all of it, like, I'm not saying the season's over if they lose on Saturday, but what do you got? Tell me, convince me, Jeffrey, what I should be looking at and be excited about if they can't be forced. And it's terrible expectations to have, but when a guy... I shouldn't be saying, oh, they have to be Florida State for me to care at all about this team, but like...
No, it is definitely this precarious spot where you, coming into the season, you more or less thought this game was going to be a free shot.
Right. It could be, keep it close, do something impressive.
Correct. And much like Boise had last week with Oregon.
Right.
And to your point...
They roasted the occasion.
I actually think it's kind of a good thing if you just woke up and saw, oh, hey, they played them closely and lost.
Yeah.
Because if you watch the game, there was a large portion of that game where you're like, Boise's the better team.
Oh, she felt.
Oregon needed a punt return and a kick return for touchdowns to take that lead. So there was a portion where you're like, this isn't fluky. Oregon kind of looks meh. Boise looks better than them. But here's the reason why I want to short this. I do think the prevailing sentiment is exactly what you're thinking. And that, hey, with Florida State being like this, this is one of those ones where it's no longer a free shot. It's one of those ones where if you're going to announce that you're going to be a playoff team, you've got to win it. The way that I look at it, though, is I do not think it's going to be make or break. And there's one rule of college football. What you know in September does not matter in November. Like, there's just too much that can happen. And
yeah,
so,
but does that rule apply to the University of Memphis and the American Athletic Conference? And so
Here's why I get what you're saying, and I don't want to be dismissive.
Because you have limited opportunities.
But everyone has limited opportunities. And so here's what I would say. Liberty.
Not like this.
Liberty. Well, everyone you're competing against has
to get
limited.
The spot. Right.
Correct.
Boise has a little bit more opportunities.
Correct.
And they proved themselves. Northern Illinois took advantage of their opportunity, and now they need to win out.
Correct. However, what I would push back on is, okay, Northern Illinois picks up definitely the resume line. Like, if we're getting into the end of the season, and Northern Illinois and Memphis have the same record, Northern Illinois has won the MAC, and Memphis has won the American, but Northern Illinois has beaten...
Who's getting that?
You know, 10-2, 11-1 Notre Dame. And Memphis is sitting there we even played the optimistic...
I mean, Notre Dame could still fall down to Florida State's level, right?
For sure.
Because it is. I mean, you're talking... That's your conversation.
Now,
in September. You can't judge... You know, we don't know what it's going to be like in November. Notre Dame could be end up being just as awful as Florida State has been.
The one... difference, though, is Notre Dame probably has fewer losable games because Notre Dame's only playing.
They always lose when they're not supposed to. Like, I mean, I know they did this past weekend, but it's a Notre Dame tradition.
It's been the Marcus Freeman experience at Notre Dame. But here's the real reason why I want to short it is right now it does feel that way because you're sitting there going, hey, man, this is as gettable as Florida State's going to be. Northern Illinois just got their big resume line. Here's your chance to get the resume line. And as you know, we pointed out on the show last week or maybe even 2 weeks ago, when you look at a lot of the teams that got the G5 spot in the New Year's Six, a lot of times what would happen is it was teams that would play a Power 5 team that was down, get a big win, and oftentimes happening early in the season. Like Western Michigan 1 year got Northwestern and Illinois when they're down. Neither team was great, but like those were big wins. And so you put that on the resume line and you you've play it out. The biggest reason why I want to short it is I do not think that Florida State is 100% dead. Like, if you look at it...
That's fair, too. But the way it could go on Saturday, obviously, the worst-case scenario would be to be blown out by Florida State.
Correct.
Like, that's when we're saying, like, the playoffs are
right, but
probably
that's
out of reach.
Must not get blown out is a different loss
than just losing.
Correct.
We're talking if they have the same type of performance as Boise when Oregon.
Let's even say it's... Because Boise, there's a legitimate case to be made. Boise should have won that game.
Right.
Let's say they have the same performance they did last year in St. Louis against Missouri, where on paper it was like a one-score game, but really if you watch the game, it was mainly Missouri was always up two scores. Memphis scores down two to make it a one-score game, doesn't get the onside game. Let's say it's that kind of game where Florida State clearly is the right side, if you will, but there was no shame, no embarrassment. Florida State still has enough opportunities to kind of get right, and the rest of the ACC is still not all that great. And so
there's so many off-the-field things that matter.
Right.
And it matters that Florida State did have an undefeated season last year. It's going to still influence, even though it's not supposed to influence people's opinions. And in the brand of Florida State, you know, it's bigger than, like, the Missouri or you know, other brands. Like, it's important to
beat Florida State football.
It's Florida State.
Yes.
So there's going to be some of these intangible things that are not about win-loss that will matter if you beat Florida State or if you play in close and they end up having a decent team at the end of the year.
I think it's so exciting
because it's former coach. Also, you know, you got the coaches going against each other. I cannot wait.
No, I mean, there's storylines galore, but this would be the other reason I'd want to short it. In the end, the MAC and likely the Mountain West, even really the Sun Belt, and definitely Conference USA, what we are seeing so far is, okay, in the Mountain West, we know Boise's pretty good. We think UNLV might be good, but we're not really thinking a whole lot other than that. What I think so far, what we've seen is, yes, these two teams did not win, but these two teams played on a national stage to a certain degree last week, Tulane and South Florida, and they both acquitted themselves pretty nicely. Tulane can kind of feel a little bit screwed in the way that they got beat by Kansas State, where, of course, I would say don't fumble it and you don't have to feel that way, but they have a touchdown taken off the board, and then they don't score from the two or maybe the one, something along those lines. They don't punch it in. But one score game that everyone watched and sitting going, this is a heck of a football game against right now a team that many people expect to win the Big 12. So people are starting to think Tulane's good, solid football team. USF had the football with a chance to go at least tie against Alabama in the fourth quarter. And a lot of people that watched that game were thinking to themselves, man, if USF just got a little bit better quarterback play, this game could be completely flipped. Because there were guys running wide open that Bama wasn't covering. And so...
Yeah, I mean, it's great for the Tigers in a lot of ways that game ended up going the way it did at the end.
Now, something else to monitor that I have been keeping my eye on, UTSA might stink. Frank Harris might have been... I'll just say this. Jeff Traylor gets a lot of credit for that program, and I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve it. But maybe we should kind of give also some credit to Frank Harris, who was an awesome college football player, for what he did at UTSA and the amount of success he had. It almost feels like maybe we should acknowledge that, tip our caps, but I know that's not what we do in college football. We have the cult of the coach. But I do think the AAC is still going to be... If all things being equal, I think the AAC champ's still going to get the nod.
So you think that Shawn Michaels' favorite team in the American Athletic Conference,
yes,
the University of Texas San Antonio, is not as good? I mean, hell, they got to play Texas this weekend.
Yes,
right. So that's a huge game for them, and you know. Well,
so they've got one of them.
I mean, if South Florida can hang with Alabama, why can't UTSA hang with Texas? You're saying they can't because you think they stink.
But I just think they have such a drop off at quarterback from Frank Harris to whichever McCown's son's playing for UTSA. I somehow stumbled into watching a lot of UTSA Texas State last week. Now, Texas State might turn out to be a really good football team. Like, they're going to Arizona State, and they're like two, or they're hosting Arizona State, and they're only like 2-point dogs. But that game was never in doubt. And UTSA has not looked good at all this year. Now, people would also point out UTSA did not look good early season. I would also combat that with Frank Harris was hurt early. And then Frank Harris came back, and they started to look like UTSA. But I still think you're going to have two good games.
If the Tigers, what do the Tigers have to do, in your opinion, though, like to hang in at what score? At what score? Because blowout obviously would be at such a negative impact of the hopes and dreams.
I think if you keep it within 10.
You got to keep
and
it within 10.
And honestly, like, what's the difference between 10? I think if you keep it within 2 scores, 14 or fewer, keep it there. And because I do think there's also an acknowledgement from people that are watching college football. Man, I wish Memphis could have played them last week instead of, all right, let them have the bye, let them get right. But as we've talked about on the show, what if Florida State is just telling us what they are, which is they're not a horrible football team, but they're just kind of meh. And what we're going to find out on Saturday is whether or not they're going to get their act together and still compete for the ACC, or is Memphis going to have the opportunity to pick up the massive resume line? And yes,
like on the road and in Tallahassee and Florida State, this is so exciting because we've never been in this position before, right? And we talk so much during the summer about the unique position that Memphis is in, because all of a sudden, Tiger football, after being left out of every conference realignment you could think of, or they're actually in a great position for the current season because you have a chance to do something that so many of your rivals over the year have not done before, which is compete in the playoffs. Happens to be a year that Tennessee and Ole Miss both can make it. But we don't know how to react because it really is down to 4 or 5 teams, right? It's still, even if Memphis loses this weekend, it's going to matter what Northern Illinois does, what Boise does, what Liberty does. If one of those teams goes undefeated, then you're screwed, right? You kind of have less control of your destiny if you lose.
I actually think this
is just the tradition that you love. You love that tradition
correct.
In college football.
No,
like, lose a game,
Notre Dame should be eliminated. I don't think they are, but they should be.
Oh, they better not be in the playoffs. They should be done.
You lose to Northern Illinois. Like, that's kind of what I used to like about the old. It's like, your palms should be sweaty.
The fact they don't have a conference to fall back on will hurt them. It does make it harder for them to get in. But
I will say, though, it feels like that USC game now is going to be much bigger. The USC game, I think, is going to be a good game.
But yeah, it's definitely going to be bigger.
Correct. And then I think Louisville's actually going to be a pretty good football team. But so to me, what it kind of comes down to is, all right, when we look at the power leagues or the G5 last year, there was only one undefeated G5, and that was Liberty. And
Liberty would have made the 12 team last year.
Yes, but I also think what happened to them in the Fiesta Bowl is definitely going to get used against them. Also, they should have lost to New Mexico State on Saturday night, and I don't think
they're probably going to lose.
They're going to have East Carolina, who can easily knock them off. They have to go to App State, who very much could beat them. Although, good God, I don't know. Maybe it's not App State anymore. The rest of the league, I think they can walk through, but we've seen them struggle at times in the league. I still just think that it's going to have to be no other options for Liberty. It's going to have to be clear cut, no other options for Liberty to get in. And I'm just leaving room that I think these other leagues could have another chance. And I think you are at the point where, despite Northern Illinois having the Notre Dame win, I think if Memphis wins on Saturday, they are in the driver's seat of control your own destiny, because I'll believe a MAC team goes undefeated again when I see it. We saw it back in 2015, right? And it was kind of flukish.
I mean, if your team beats Notre Dame, like, that is the highlight of the year. The idea that you could top that, right? Follow that up.
This team,
like, seems a team like Northern, it's really tough to follow that up. At least the Tigers, you're going to beat Florida State this weekend. People are expecting you to do that now.
They've had a Heisman Trophy winner, and they made BCS Bowl before we called them New Year Six, mm-hmm. with Jordan Lynch. That's still the biggest moment in program history, what they did on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like that's what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
All right, you got one for Raw, because I think this is interesting.
Well, like, yeah, I saw this story. So Monday Night Raw, which has been on Mondays forever, has been 3 hours for a decade plus now. For about over a decade, it's been a three-hour program. And so they've announced that starting in October, it's going to reduce down to 2 hours, at least for the remainder of the run in 2024, because Raw's jumping to Netflix in January. So they had this weird purgatory of 3 months where they didn't have a TV deal. USA said, sure, come on in. It was revealed this week that USA was like, we'll keep you on, but we only want it to be 2 hours, which is interesting because it is the highest rated show on that channel, if not on still on all cable television. So it was still making a lot of money in the 3 hours. You had that inventory for commercials, and you could sell your highest rated commercials. So why would they want to reduce something from 3 to 2? Something that fans have always wanted, right? Fans have always wanted this. And now they're getting it, at least for a few months. We'll see what it looks like when Netflix comes around.
And are we still finishing out 24 SmackDown still on Fox?
No, it's done. So that the Fox finale is done. Yeah.
Both are on USA for the rest of the quarter.
For the rest of the year, yeah.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's why they wanted to reduce it. It's like, man, we got a lot of wrestling, but yeah, it's still the highest rated shows that they have on the entire network. But it just got me thinking, like, because I had this conversation, you know, like, what can fix the NBA? People are like, what's fixed? I always say, like, they need to, reduce the amount of games.
Yeah.
And pick some days of the week that you always play on so people know this is NBA day, right?
Absolutely.
That would seem like to be an easy fix, but it's never going to happen. But no. Could this happen? Could this be? Like, do you buy that this could be a new trend that maybe we actually do see a strategy of less is more?
Okay. I really do kind of want to buy this.
I know we want it.
But sadly, I'm selling this.
You're selling it.
All right. Because here is what I do think is fascinating, and the reason why I'm not shorting it is because I do think we're going to see, in the next few years, these media companies that have bought live rights, they're going to start asking some hard questions of, we spent so much money on this, What are we doing with it? How are we going to maximize profit? And they've largely committed in an era in which we're still transitioning, trying to figure out how to make sure we offer our product to as many people as possible while also keeping our advertising revenue, yet also making revenue on if we're going direct to consumer, whatnot. There's a lot of how are we maximizing revenue profit questions. And I do think we've also seen, like we saw this with the whole streaming wars, if whatever you want to call it, where initially all of these streaming companies, whether it be Paramount, Disney, Max, Warner Brothers Discovery, however you want to say it, Netflix, who else am I forgetting? They brought in all of the big Prime as well, Amazon as well.
Yeah.
They paid a ton of money to big name producers, content creators, like writers, everything. And what we saw was these massive paydays. And then recently here in the last 12 months, a lot of these contracts have been up. And what we saw was, okay, a lot of these companies either just didn't renew with the creators, or they basically went from having like a $200 million deal to like a $10 million deal, or $20 million deal. With these people. And so is that going to happen also with sports, or these questions of, okay, can we, instead of 3 hours of ads, could we maybe get more money if we did 2 hours of ads? And like, you're starting to
charge more for the,
right. You're starting to optimize. What is the way to, it's always going to come down to what is the maximum profit.
Because there's a lot of things. So there's in wrestling, it's always been just fans have believed a 3 hour Monday Night Raw is too long. Like, if you remember watching Raw when it originally started in 1993, it was 1 hour. If you watched Memphis wrestling on Saturday mornings, it was like 90 minutes. Like, there's a certain amount of wrestling that you want to take. And when there's so many different shows, 3 hours was too long. Like, the quality of the show is going to be better when it's 2 hours because you're just not having to sit through as long of matches or as useless matches.
Think back
that
to
you
the beginning.
To see.
But think back to the beginning of NXT. I'm convinced a huge part of the beginning of NXT was the 1 hour WWE Network show, and You had the limited programming, and then you'd have their major events that they'd blow it out at, but that was a big part of it. But what we've started to see is, okay, now everybody's focused on, well, how much, you know, what is the business model between revenue from tickets? I need to look that up from WWE. What's the
ticket revenue?
What's ticket revenue versus the TV deal revenue?
Right, and their TV deals are huge, right? Their TV deal is huge right now.
Massive.
And to the point where they don't do house shows very often anymore. So
correct.
And they have to figure that out. But in the same, like you were saying, you could charge more if you had a shorter, you could charge more for the ads because you had less ads.
Correct.
You could charge more for them. I just always think, and it's something that sports never really looks at, but oversaturation could be a problem, and it can be a problem. It's a problem for the NBA's problem is that there's just too much of it, so you don't feel a need to have to see every game. Also, the confusion of the fact that it's just, can we just not really schedule all the games on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursdays or something, and let's, you know, bake that where we know when the games are going to be on, so I know it's an NBA night, but oversaturation seems to be a problem that is going to get worse in sports because the biggest problem to me with these NFL deals and these NBA deals and all these streaming services, like what passwords am I going to need? What accounts am I going to need? The saturation of missing out on something. And once you miss something, you realize you can't live without it. You know, we saw this during COVID. Like there's just so much of it. And if you can't even find it, you need a map to figure out where it all is.
I had my weekend with Fubo for ESPN, and really it was mainly just a Saturday problem.
Are you still without ESPN? You're still.
Oh God,
they have not settled that yet.
And it's even worse.
That's why you didn't watch the debate. It was ABC. No, it was on the other channels. But
yeah, okay. I mean, I had the news mix on so that because one of my is like to bounce back and forth to hear like what MSNBC says versus Fox and like hear how the talking points are getting spun. But yesterday I was just like,
you're really into the game of it all.
Yeah, I'm just like I'm
you
good.
Want the horse race?
I'm good here. Like this isn't a horse race. I have to bet. This is like we've made it to the Belmont, and I don't care. At all. Like, this is like, there's not a Triple Crown winner. There's 8 horses running. This is kind of like where, that's that kind of Belmont. But what we've also been seeing, though, is companies are more willing, like, take Fox, for instance. They basically eliminated, and it started with when they got the package for SmackDown. They eliminated Friday content.
Right.
Like, they don't have Friday shows anymore. And so now, what they've done is they've, even though they didn't bid on SmackDown, they've turned Friday night into a college football night. They're going to have college basketball on Fridays. They're making it a sports night.
There's rumors they are maybe messing around with AEW, which is very interesting. Yeah.
I'm sure part of that, though, is also
a budget deal.
Correct. Exactly. Hey,
and less money to get some,
correct.
Some live
and
wrestling.
So
the raw reduction, though, like, it's a rarity, Jeff, where we never see something. It's always like, well, that will never happen. This change in sports will never happen because it will mean they're not making as much money. And
so if we're using the NBA example, part of the problem, though, is because I do agree with you. It's like,
we never see it. We're going to see it. It may only be 3 months because it might go back to 3 hours when it starts on Netflix, which.
Although, like, to me,
what's
like,
the point? Isn't the point of having it on Netflix so that people subscribe to it? Once they subscribe, does it matter if it's 2 hours or 3 hours that they're tuning in? Or how many ads are they going to be selling on?
Well,
I don't have
that's
the
what
ad
I'm saying,
Netflix.
Like, is it going to be like Peacock where there's clearly, like, when we watch the artist formerly known as pay-per-views on Peacock,
yeah,
it's not like it's no ads.
Yeah, throw in something.
It's like limited ads, and then oftentimes it's Peacock promoting their other content on there, but it's not nothing.
Yeah.
I think the thing, though, that's more interesting to me is like, okay, is Netflix going to cut it back to 3 hours? Because it does seem to me that this is somewhat of an outlier because USA is saying, all right, we'll take it, we'll keep it for the rest. Because
This is 3 months that they did not have a TV partner with that they have to fill before Netflix starts in January. So
what would be actually really interesting?
If I'm USA, I would use it. I cut it to 2 hours, and then you put on what you want to push. You know, you stack the program like it's the Super Bowl. Like, if Raw's your best rated show, then do it for 2 hours, and then at 9 o'clock or whatever
they're pushing
you put on,
this, whatever
you
this, know,
whatever you're pushing, you want to put it on after it.
What is this?
The lead out program.
What is this reality contest that I'm watching that's got the guy?
Is it Love Island? What is
No.
What's on USA?
It's like whenever you forget to flip over after Raw, it's like It's like Who's Lying or something.
It's not the that Nashville family anymore. Where
yeah, no, it's not Chrisley Knows Best. Although I think they're still pumping out content.
Are they still making? They're not making. Are they doing? That would be interesting.
I think they're still pumping out content despite the hardships.
Selling Sunset.
No.
The Circle. I'm looking at USA.
Circle might be it. It's like they've taken like
American Ninja Warriors on USA.
No.
The Anonymous.
That's it. The Anonymous.
Yeah, that's the new one. Yeah,
that's the one.
That looks intriguing to me as a reality show fan.
Maybe that's like what they're building up. But like to me, this is the more interesting aspect. And I'm probably giving away a question that Kevin could ask tomorrow. So heads up for Right of the Night Trivia. I took more attention to what NBC did this week. Did you pay attention to what NBC did this week?
What did you say? What happened?
They eliminated the Tonight Show, reduced the Tonight Show
one day, yeah,
from 5 nights to 4 nights. And what we're seeing is they're going to sports. The biggest cost for sports is the rights,
right?
But it's the one thing everybody's still watching live, and it's the one thing that you can make the most advertising money on. What they're going to start getting rid of is the expensive studio shows, the dramas and whatnot that are expensive to make. Like, that's the stuff that's going down. I also would like to know if part of USA's decision is, okay, we've got SmackDown, so we already had that 2 hours committed. We've had Raw for 3. We can sell an additional hour of ads, but we don't really want to sell an additional 2 hours of ads because...
Yeah, they might be selling a lot of wrestling-related ads.
I mean, how often do we see, like...
Because really, they're selling 4 hours versus
correct.
The 3 that they were doing for a few months.
Correct, versus 5. The case study that would be fascinating is if Fox would have kept SmackDown and Raw was going to Netflix. Because what we oftentimes see is when a lame duck network has a program, they'll just sit there and go, all right, we'll terminate a year early. And so, like... Would USA, like the fact that USA is still obviously in business with WWE, like that incentivizes them, all right, well, we'll take it, we'll keep it and whatnot. But I mean, you and I have been watching wrestling for years. The commercials themselves change, but do the products ever change? It feels like we've been watching the same, you know,
right.
Pizza commercials, soft drinks, like we're watching all the same things forever and ever. So like, it's going to be harder.
We get Prime ads now for the, not the Amazon, but the other one. Prime Energy.
Yeah, because they're in business with...
That's a newer one.
But, yes.
You know, of the recent era.
All right, speaking of wrestling, let's talk some 901 wrestling. We will do that next because we have the 18-19 champion, the Merc, Chris Evans, coming in. But also, before we do that, I want to remind you, the show is brought to you by one of my favorite spots in town. It is Birdie's. It's located at 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. 3 golf simulators, virtual putting course, full-service bar, great TV selection. Makes a great spot if you want to go watch the games on Saturdays or Sundays. They're opening early on Saturdays and Sundays for game days. 9 a.m. for both days. Of course, if you want to watch some Premier League soccer before the real football gets kicked off, you can do that. Also, check out their membership options. $100 a month will get you 10 hours on their simulators. It's roughly 10 bucks a month by my math. Normally, the hourly rate, $40, so huge discount there, well worth it. You'll also get 20% off food and merch. Also, the fees will be waived for league play, tournaments, and special events. Also, 10% off golf rates for all guests, as well as 20% off the golf rates if you exceed your 10 hours. So make sure you go take advantage of that deal. I've had some friends that live down in the area, and they say it's one of the best deals you can possibly have. Golf@birdies.com. Also, league play will be starting back up here in a few weeks. Make sure you are following them on Instagram at Birdies901 for more information. Also, we'll have all that information right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. When we come back, the Merc, Chris Evans, joins us in the studio. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Chris Evans, He's got the belt in here in studio. He won the belt, knocking off the All-American Ken Dang at the final battle at Black Lodge. He's been calling himself the Minglewood Merc. He'll also put the belt on the line against Dang and Walker 13 in a triple threat match. I will say, when you're the man with the hardware, are you a little worried about a two-on-one?
Never, dude. Let me tell you something. These two guys, you know, Ken Dang already beat him once, so I know he's Achilles too. I'm not worried about him. If anything, he's a fraud to me. Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Fraud?
A fraud. He's so not real.
He loves
if you
America.
Wanna go down, if you want to go down the history of Ken Dang, he was once the Emperor of Asia. If you really want to go fully back, he was...
The Emperor of all of Asia?
Of all of Asia. But now he's turned around and now
so he's literally gone from the most powerful man literally in the world?
Hey. Uh-huh. Don't interrupt the Merc when he's speaking.
I'm not done. I want the audience to understand.
I'm not done. We're going to get to that.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Emperor of Asia. Go ahead. All of it.
Uh-huh. Seems unlikely.
Yeah. Now he's American. All American.
Okay. He loves America.
That is confusing.
All American. Okay.
That's almost as much as he loves
America. It's the land of opportunity, though. You know, we're all from somewhere else.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you got Walker 13. He's just an 80s movie nerd. Okay. I'm not worried about him. Where's contacts out
he's
to the ring?
He's the Memphis-made monster.
I'm the Memphis-made Merc.
I got to ask the question. What's 13 doing in his name?
That's a question you're going to ask Walker.
Yeah.
Okay, so already I'm eliminating
him. When I met Walker, he was Walker Hayes, a young man.
The country guy?
Totally different.
Uh-huh.
I've beat him before.
I'm sure you did.
Like the American Idol country guy, Walker Hayes?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
So
it's the same guy.
Like I said, these two guys, I'm not worried.
See him live.
Cerrito, I like you. Please don't interrupt me again. See, you made me lose my train of thought. These two guys are nothing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm the one that's going in the 18-19 champion. I'm the one that's going to step out the 18-19 champion. No ifs, ands, or buts.
I'm not hearing a lot of respect of the opponent.
Why? I've beat them before. I'm just saying,
if I'm going into a match and I got two people and I know they're gunning for me and my belt, like, I don't know, I'd be maybe a little bit more concerned.
I mean, and honestly, like, for the record here, Ken Dang, the most recent 18-19 champion, the All-American.
He sucked.
And you're going up against Walker 13, who was the original 18-19 champion.
He's non-factor.
The
guy who went. That's old news. Old news.
He's been on a roll. He has not been pinned in singles competition since returning to 901 wrestling.
I mean, technically, if you want to think about it, I eliminated him at the Wild Card Rumble. I eliminated Ken Dang at the Wild Card Rumble. That speaks a lot of volume. They both got losses against me.
Now, in the wild card rumble, you're referencing the wild card rumble.
But did we toss him out?
Yes.
But you're not going to keep your belt by just throwing him out of the ring on September 22nd.
I mean, I could throw one out the ring and pin the other.
I mean, he does make a fair point there.
He could do that, but one of the other.
But they could still get back in the ring.
Listen, Merc 901 says, I'm leaving out of Minglewood Hall with the 18-19 champion. I don't care who you put in front of me, and quite frankly, I think this is all set up because I've always said the cards have always been stacked against me. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has regular matches. I have to do a triple threat.
Now,
the powers that be don't want this on me, but you know what? You know what? I'm not letting that affect me because I'm going in and I'm coming out the same champion. I'm stating that right now.
Well, what does it mean to you that this is your first title defense and it's going to be happening at the new home of 901 Wrestling, Minglewood Hall?
Repeat that? I'm sorry.
I said, what does it mean to you that your first title defense is going to be happening at the new home of 901 Wrestling inside Minglewood Hall?
It means a lot. It means I'm about to tear this place down. You saw what I did in Black Lodge. You saw everything I did in Black Lodge.
Black Lodge. You fought in the bathroom.
All over, okay? You saw what I did there. Minglewood Hall is just a more expansive place for me to whoop tail all throughout the whole damn arena.
Yeah, but he does have more square footage. Now, Kevin, you're going to have to help me out here.
Because yes.
I understand Chris has his perspective.
He does, yes.
He seems to believe that both guys that are going to be in the ring with him are undeserving of being there.
And that's the furthest from the truth right there.
Yeah. Okay, so I was just going to ask.
No. Walker hates.
Those are two guys who are very well associated with that belt. Outside of Kevin Bliss, who was our guest here, the current 901 Wrestling Champion, I mean, those are the other two guys who the fans associate with that 18-19 championship.
Okay, if you ask me.
Which is named after the founding year of this city.
Okay, great for Memphis. Cool. Love it. If you ask me, Walker Hayes already had his limelights with this. Yes, Walker 13. Excuse me for dead naming him. Walker 13. He already had his time. Ken Dang already had his time. If anything, Ken Dang belongs at the bottom of the list.
Okay, I'm just asking a question. Many people in the streets are asking this. I want it to be clear, Jeffrey Wright is not asking this. But many in the streets are asking, we're hearing a lot of bravado talk from you, but I've heard many people say, why do you just have the 18-19 belt and not the overall championship? Again, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to respond. I'm clearly not asking that because I respect the 18-19 belt. I know that that's a worker's belt, but there are some that are saying that that's a mid-card belt.
Well, how about this? Since the streets asked you a question to ask me, how about I smack you, and then you can smack the streets?
So, okay.
Maybe that's not
that big. You could probably smack me, and then on the follow-through, you could still probably get some of the streets.
No, you're going to get all of it. Okay. Then you can give it to the streets.
Okay. But I want to be clear. I didn't ask that question.
That's fine.
I've seen many asking that question.
Need to get security in here.
I'll smack them up too.
The 18-19 champion, the Merc, Chris Evans, is joining us in studio. He's defending that title coming up in Minglewood Hall on Sunday, September 22nd. As 901 Wrestling debuts on that Sunday night at 5 p.m. Kids get in free, Merc. Isn't that what do you think about that? Kids 12 and under get in free. You get one free entry for a kid for every general admission ticket purchase.
That's cool because when they come in, they're going to see their role model, somebody who's going to come in, take charge, take what they want. Okay, they're going to see a winner.
Who's the role model?
I am.
Oh,
role model.
But one guy has been both the Emperor of Asia and the All-American Kid. That is like the most American story of all time. Like, you go and you have success somewhere else, and you come here and you're like, I'm going to have more success here. Isn't maybe that who perhaps they'd be looking to?
No.
Okay, and why?
Because I said so.
Okay,
because I said so.
But you know that doesn't work with kids.
I don't know. I have my own kid, and it works with me.
Okay, so you're just a better parent than I am. Because mine...
Mine. Listen... Long story short, we can ask all the questions we want. Long story short is, and Cerrito, you know this firsthand, I do what I want in 901, and I get what I want in 901. It may not happen now, it may happen later. But I'm telling you right now, come September 22nd, I'm walking in, 18-19 champion. I'm walking out, 18-19 champion. Okay, I'm leaving Ken Dang hurt, bruised, and I'm leave Walker 13 just laying there, knowing he's not going to get another chance at this.
Okay.
It's a triple threat, Jeffrey.
Hypothetically, though. What if maybe you can't throw one of them out, and it really does become a two-on-one? Like, do we have a plan for that?
Dude, have you seen my matches?
I seen them on YouTube, at 901 Wrestling on YouTube. Yes.
Thank you. So you should know that, I've been calling myself Minglewood Merc, but you should also know that I'm also the Memphis Suplex King. You just had one of the guys I used to toss on a regular basis. I used to German suplex him to his neck, Mr. Don Montana.
And they both played offensive line. They were big boys.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So if you think I can't throw those other two, did you not see me throw Ken Dang around?
I'm just a little concerned.
He didn't do his homework on me or something?
I'm a little concerned we're leaving ourselves vulnerable. Listen, did you see the Alabama-South Florida game last week? Have you seen Notre Dame? Do you think Northern Illinois deserved to be on the same field as Notre Dame?
I'm Georgia. I'm Georgia. I'm looking at Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fluking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Notre Dame.
I'm looking at both of them right now. I'm beating both of them. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm number one on the bracket, Big Merc Dog. I'm coming out end of the year with the championship. That's set in final.
Again.
Put down your FanDuel.
I'm just telling you what the streets are saying.
You're making
if you
me,
were Georgia,
me mad right now.
Why are we 18-19 champ?
I don't know. You know.
Or are we not the 901 you know, wrestling champ?
Sometimes in life, you have to go through certain things to get to your ultimate prize. Quite frankly, Kevin Bless got the championship. Cool. You know what? He had that. He had the wild card, and he cashed that in. Cool. He got it. I'm gonna let him have it for now.
I kind of like this angle because really, what he's saying is the only reason why he's got the real belt because of a technicality that you didn't have.
But you know what? I'm gonna be happy with this,
right?
Because I'm gonna show everybody what the 18-19 champion is supposed to be like. I'm gonna show everybody.
So really, you're like Alabama. You won the SEC title. You don't care that you got
like
beat
Alabama.
The national title
or
by the national title by Georgia, or that you lost to Michigan in the semifinal. Like you're cool because you won the SEC title.
No, I'm not Alabama. I don't like Alabama.
I'm just saying that's kind of the you follow the logic. Well, that's what I'm hearing.
I see what you're saying, but I don't like Alabama, so I'm not going to compare myself.
You do bring up. I mean, Jeffrey, you do bring up some interesting like comparisons, right? We've had this is our championship series we've had here on the show. We've had the Kevin Bless on recently. He's the 901 wrestling champion. He'll be defending the title against Bobby Ford on September 22nd. We had. In studio last week, we had Top Shottas, who will be defending the tag team titles against Twisted Steel coming up on September 22nd. And the other big title match, all the titles on the line, is the 18-19 championship. And yes, while a lot of people will compare that belt to, you know, the Intercontinental Championship and other promotions, it is still a very important
championship.
Yeah, U.S. Championship. Many people target that, like whether it was Kevin Bless for the longest time.
Television championship.
Ken Dang. That's the prize that they want. That's the prize that they know, because when you win that, you are on the verge of battling for the top title in the territory. Not everybody. There can only be one champion.
Oh, I will.
Only be one 901 wrestling champion. There can only be one 18-19 champion. And right now, you're holding one of the two single belts, and I got to give you credit for that. I mean, it was an impressive win over Ken Dang at the final battle at Black Lodge. So I'm not.
Thank you, Cerrito. See, this is why I like Cerrito. This is why I like Cerrito.
I mean, that's
a lot
it.
Of people don't think I like Cerrito. I like Cerrito.
Jeffrey, ask him how his family's doing.
And if you want to get down to college football, more like Harbaugh. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna win the big chip.
And then leave?
I'm going to win the chip.
Yeah, and then leave.
And then I'm going to go to something bigger and better.
Merc, okay? has the family real proud?
Merc? I thought his name was Cesaro. I'm just thinking of guys that have
I'm
won mid-card.
I'm sorry, I'm personally.
The Merc, I'm sorry.
What's going on though, Merc? How's the family? Are they excited? Are they excited about this?
Yes.
The whole family.
Do they come to the matches?
Cousins, everybody?
Everybody. You know, one of my cousins is going to be there. I might step in and beat him up. I don't know. He's got his own thing going on. We have a family reunion coming up.
Y'all do?
I might start something up again. Maybe.
I might gloat. He feuded all last year with his cousin, Prince Adonis.
Did you watch that? Did you homework on that?
Falls Count Anywhere at Black Lodge.
I didn't
Lodge.
Like the results, so I skipped over a lot.
Also, you're biased.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm stepping into a biased interview.
I just didn't feel like someone was working.
Right now.
I didn't feel like someone was working honorably.
A biased media group, you know. And I have to be the fighter, you know what I'm saying? Even though I know I'm going into a snake pit.
Hostile environment, yeah.
It's fine. If you want to be the crooked media, I will be your Trump today.
I can't push back if you tell the truth.
I am telling the truth.
Everything I've said,
it can be verified. Everything I've said can be fact-checked. Everything I said can be watched on YouTube. 901 Wrestling on YouTube, if you haven't checked it out. Like Mr. Jeffrey here hasn't done his homework on me.
I'm saying,
you get an F for this interview.
I've seen you work.
A failure.
It's not my cup of tea, you know? I'm just saying.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, it's like watching Goldberg matches. No big deal.
I mean,
sometimes it's just... I want to see guys
you know what?
Really work.
Hey, I'm about to...
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.